praise and worship. Is that right?
Yeah.
Praise God. Morning, everybody. It is still morning, isn't it? we've got a new pup. So, new boxer puppy. So, I'm on the 2 o'clock shift, you know, toilet shift. Gee whiz. Anyway, I'm not going there. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm on that. If you've ever had a boxer pup, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we're excited about what you're doing in our lives, our homes, our families. Thank you for your grace and favor on our lives, on our nation, on our families. Where would we be without that grace? It's not by might, it's not by power, it's certainly not by our brilliant intellects, but it's by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I like to minister what God's dealing with me about. This is the area I've been looking at recently. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And I was just looking at that word perilous. It sort of just jumped out at me. Perilous. What does that mean? It's only used 2 times in the New Testament. Only 2 occasions. Once here and once when the Gadarene, you know, the demonic that Jesus ministered to, same word. So I looked it up and breaks down in English to ravingly insane. So according to Paul, in the last days the world will be ravingly insane. I don't think we're really far off that right now. Not a long way off it. I mean, road rage is off the Richter scale. Depression, suicide, just awful. My son's a detective in the Northern Territory. He tells me some of the things about suicide. They don't even report suicides anymore, because they think it encourages other people to do it. The number one cause of death among our young people now is not road accidents, it's actually suicide. Discouragement, depression, just disillusion with life. But you know, I was reading, I like classics. I was reading Charles Dickens' The Tale of Two Cities. Anybody ever read that? It starts off, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. See, that's an oxymoron. How could it be the best of times and the worst of times? Well, how many of you know for the world it's going to be the worst of times, but for you and me as believers it's going to be the best of times? You know, all of a sudden I just find it so easy to minister the things of God. You know, the Bible does say where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And that's why I believe there's such a revelation of grace, because as things get worse and worse, there's going to be more revelation of grace. There's more revelation of grace now than any time I can even remember. We didn't even know what really grace, that's what you say before your meal, isn't it? Anyway, so here, you know, it goes on to say after that, verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. That describes the world now. We're in love with our mirrors. If anybody else fell in love with us, we'd get jealous. Is that too deep? I mean, it's a narcissistic world. It really is all about you. It's all about me. Is that right? I probably shared before, but when it's your turn to minister, do it your way. I was reading in Time magazine, the average person today takes 48 minutes of selfies a week. That's 7 minutes a day of total narcissism. Yeah. Don't you know what you look like yet? Yeah. I remember when we actually used to take photos of other people. Anyway, you take the Eiffel Tower, but my buff head's in it. Even take your steak dinner, but your buff head's in it. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm on that. You know, and people, you know, they're desperately searching for peace, for rest. The number one killer, from what I'm not a medical person, but from what I read, is stress. 80 to 90% of our diseases now are stress, either caused or related, make it worse. And my doc was telling me recently, he says, the number one advice I can give anybody is a stress-free mind. The best pill you can take. My mum was 98 when she died. My dad was 96. They've never been in a gym a day in their life. They ate the crackling off the pork. Right up. My dad put butter on the bread so thick he could cement it together. But they still lived to almost 100 years of age. Hello? I said, to Dad, you can't eat like that. He said, oh, shut up. I'm not eating tree bark and lawn clippings. They're all dead at 40. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You got people today that take vitamin pills till they rattle, but anyway, we're not going there. So am I saying just go out? No, I'm not saying that. But the number one cause I find today is distress. The thing that I can remember most about my mum and dad, there was no stress. They were at peace. They had a great humour. My dad always had a great sense of humour. I said, how do you live that long, Dad? He said, just keep breathing. Just keep, you know, anyway. So he's talking about here, men will be lovers of themselves. Then it goes on to relate, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. All of those things follow being lovers of self. Indirect, I believe, a direct cause. Just lovers of self. You know, one of the things I was reading recently, I'm doing a new book called From Stressed to Blessed. And I was looking up just the, you know, stress not only affects your brain, they believe it's one of the causes of dementia, things like that. It affects every part of you, of your being. You know, it's not, we're not meant to live in stress-related conditions. Is that right or not? And I was astounded to find one of the main reasons is preoccupation with self. See, now if you suffer from this, please, I'm not shooting at anybody. The depression is just looking inward all the time, just looking at me, 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 me. Hello, thank you for your enthusiasm. Is that right? It's all discouraging. You know, like Pastor was talking about, forget about yourself. Is that right? The best thing you could do is go out and do something for somebody else. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Anyway, that's what I believe. He was talking about if you want to find your life, lose it. Is that right or not? So what's the answer? The answer is God's rest. There is, if you go to Hebrews with me, Hebrews chapter 4, how many of you believe the Bible? Hebrews is not what I say, you say, that's what the Word of God says. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, therefore since a promise remains of entering his rest, I love that. This is New Testament, he's talking to the Hebrew believers. He says, of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. He's talking about, you know, watch out that you don't. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Who's going to enter the rest? Those that believe. Is that right or not? You know, it's amazing to me, and I'm not trying to simplify things, but, you know, there's something about believing God's word. We're supposed to be believers. Is that right or not? But what you believe is your choice. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. But choose life, is that right? So you get a choice. You know, you get people in the church, not this church, another church. I don't believe that. Is that right? Well, who gives a rip what you believe? That's what the Bible says. So it's going to change because you don't believe it? See, what you believe, is that right or not, decides where you'll spend eternity. Can I have an amen or what? All he's asking us to do is believe. In John chapter 11, verse 40, it actually says, if you want to see the glory of God, believe. Don't, is that right? If you want to enter the rest of God, believe. Hello? Remember Paul? And Paul, I love Paul. I love the way Paul writes. Just what a great bloke. I mean, just think about it. What an adventurous life. He's whipped. He's stoned. That's not marijuana. Hello? Is that right? Shipwrecked, left for dead. And he says these light afflictions. You know, people in the church, they've been out of shape if the pastor doesn't shake hands with you. All he says, these light afflictions. Yeah, right. And then he goes on to say, and I'm the least of all the apostles. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's obviously not in love with his mirror. He said, I'm not even really worthy to be called an apostle. I love that. God resists the proud, but gives more grace to the humble. There's something in there for us, I believe, today. If you're so full of ourselves, is that right? But God resists, same word for resist the devil. God resists the proud, but gives more grace to the humble. All he's asking us to do is believe. Paul is in jail. Remember the story? The earthquake hits. The jailer thinks that they've all run away, so he's going to kill himself. Paul says, whoa, hold it. We're all still here. So what is it? The jailer says, what do I have to do to get saved? Paul doesn't go, here's the list. Now, if you've got a religious spirit, it's about to manifest. He doesn't say repent. Now, don't get cranky. I'm just telling you, I'm reading. He doesn't say get baptized. He says believe. Just believe. Is that what it says? And you and your household. Now, you can argue all your life. I'm just telling you what. Argue with Paul. That's what he told him. Yeah. Now, if it's wrong, he just sent that whole family to hell. Yeah. Wow. Believe and you and your family will be saved. That's right. Believe what? Believe in the finished work of Christ. That's right. Not you doing plus. You know, the cross makes all the difference. It's not cross plus you praying. It's not the cross plus you doing. It's the finished work of the cross. Christianity is unique. It's the only religion, if I can call it that, where you don't have to do anything but believe. Is that right? If you're a Muslim today, you've got to pray 5 times a day facing Mecca. If you're a Buddhist, you're not allowed to step on a cockroach or whatever else it is. Old Testament Christianity, do good, you get do good, do bad, you get bad. You could be anything and get that. But the gospel, the good news, the gospel of grace is just believe what Jesus has done for you. Is that right or not? That's what it says. Just believe it. Can I have an amen? I mean, how simple is that? You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I did a book on Smith Wigglesworth, the Apostle of Faith Down Under. The man couldn't read or write. The only book he ever read, he taught himself to read the Bible, nothing else. Would never even allow a newspaper into his home. Is that right? Now think about it. Here's a man that doesn't have 50 translations of the Bible like you and I do. No TV preachers, no CDs, no DVDs. Is that right? Think about this. No Hebrew and Greek. Is that right? What's the Greek for shut up, you're annoying me? But anyway, not going there. Is that right or not? But still a man with none of that touched this nation possibly any more than any other person, but maybe Billy Graham. Thousands were saved. 20 people raised from the dead, documented raised from the dead. And his motto, simply believe. Only believe. Now you've got to go to church and actually encourage believers to believe. Is that right or not? Anyway, you know, I might not understand everything, but I can believe it. Yeah. If that's what Scripture is. You know, in Mark chapter 6, if you remember the story, he goes to his own hometown. And they see the power of God being manifest. And they go, whoa, look at this. Where did this man get these things? But there's always somebody gets up and says, oh, we don't believe that. We know this kid who used to grow up here. He's this snot-nosed kid that used to run up and down the streets. Yeah. His mother's called Mary. Well, doesn't the anointing work if your mother's called Mary? What's that got to do with anything? Yeah. And it says here he could do no mighty works. Didn't say wouldn't, said couldn't. And he marveled at their unbelief. Marveled at their unbelief. You know, I don't know about you, but there's something about simply believe, just believe. The Bible actually says that those that come to God must believe. That's right. Must believe that he is and he is what? A rewarder. That's what it says. You know, that we anyway, you know, it's sort of... Your choice what you believe. It really is your choice what you believe. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but we've all been given the measure, not a measure, the measure of faith. But believing is what you choose. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. You choose what you believe. And what you choose will decide where you spend eternity. Can I have an amen? Simple as that. Only believe. Man, I love that. The more that I look into it, anyway, your choice. So how do I believe? What the Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is that right? What you believe will come out of your mouth eventually. Not your head. The longest distance you'll ever experience is 20 inches from your head to your heart. To get the word from here to here. You don't believe here, you believe here. You can actually do things with doubt in your head, but believe in your heart. Can I have an amen or what? Think about that. So how do I believe? You know, in Proverbs, and Pastor was talking about Proverbs. I like Proverbs. But in Proverbs chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, thank you, Lord. It's here somewhere. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Is that what? Do not let them depart from your eyes. How's that going to happen? Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those that find them. And health or medicine to all their flesh. What when it's kept in your heart, not your head. Is that right? And goes on and says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. One translation says, guard your heart above all that you guard, for out of it will come the forces that determine your future life. One translation says, this is where life is created. Hello? How many of you know to get saved? The greatest miracle you ever see is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Is that right? Is that the way we receive? So a lot of people don't even know what it really means to believe in your heart. The image of your heart, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It doesn't matter what I think about you, it's the way you see yourself. Can I have an amen? The image of your heart, and the image of your heart is not words, it's images. We think in images, not words. Words convey images. If I say something to you, I've got a dog, if you don't know what my dog is, you're confused, but if I say I've got a tan boxer with white markings, immediately you get a picture. The more words you get, better picture. The more word of God, better picture. Is that right or not? By his stripes I was healed. Is that right? Over and over. It says meditate on my word day and by night. Never let them depart from your sight. Is that right or not? Hello? When I lived in Darwin before I was in ministry, I owned a gun shop, fishing tackle shop, and I got saved and I started reading about meditate. I thought that meant you went to Afghanistan up in some cave, bald-headed, you know, sitting cross-legged going, om, om, om. That's what I thought meditate meant. Maybe go to Nimbin, that'd be as good. That's what I thought it meant. I didn't know any different. And I look it up, it means mutter. It means run it through your mind over and over until it begins to produce images. More word, better image. More word, better. By stripes, I was healed. Over, the love of God. Is that right? God has not given me a spirit of fear. More, over and over. If you don't like your life, change your heart. If you don't like your life, change your heart. Change what you see in your heart. That's how you got saved. It says there, is that right? In Joshua chapter 1, some wonderful passages of scripture that deal with this. You know, think about this. Moses is dead. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses, with all of his miracles, can't get him across the Jordan River. Is that right? Pillars of fire by night, pillars of cloud by day, Red Sea splits, tap the rock, water flows, and he still can't get him across the Jordan River. Now he's dead, and God says, right, Josh, it's your turn. Excuse me, Lord, I've not even healed an ingrown toenail. What hope do I have? And so God deals with him in Joshua chapter 1, and he says to him in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Just make sure you got it. Verse 6, be strong and courageous again. But then he says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, you'll keep saying it, but you'll meditate on it by day and by night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, but then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. God said the same thing to David in Psalm chapter 1. Is that right? Blessed are those that don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, there's only one counsel you can walk in, godly. Same thing, meditate over. Don't tell me you can't do it. We do it in the reverse. We call it worry. Is this too deep? The last thing to go to sleep, that's what you find. First thing when you wake up in the morning, that's called worry. That's called fear. It produces wrong images. It brings stress, brings the breakdown of our relationships, our bodies. Is that correct or not? As I focus, I don't say I can do it all the time, but most times as I go to sleep, I'm focusing on the Word of God. The grace of God, the love of God takes away all that fear. Can I have an amen? What you choose to focus on. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, years ago, we took a group to see a Jewish bar mitzvah where boys become men at 13. There's no such thing as teenagers. Only Western culture has a thing called teenagers. Peter Pan society, because we're not what a man is anymore. I feel a love coming now. We don't know if we're boys or men. We don't even know where we fit anymore. Every ancient society has a thing called rite of passage. Aboriginal, I've got a skin name from Aboriginals. Hello. At maturity, don't have age, but the boys become men. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted a child. But when I became a man, not a teenager, I put away childish things. So they have a thing called bar mitzvah. At 13, they have all of the men. It's a testosterone society. The dads, the granddads, the rabbis, and they dance around this young 13-year-old kid and pick him up. Welcome to manhood. And we're there. This pimply-faced little kid says, today I've become a man. I want to laugh. But it doesn't matter what I think of him. It's how he sees himself. Wow. It's how he sees. And he says, today I've become a man. Wow. I like that. Man, so the image of your heart, it's the blueprint for your life. Some people have sickness images. Some people have failure images. Is that right? And if you don't like your life, change your heart. Change the way you see your heart. Meditating day and by night. Is that right? And then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Meditate on the finished work. The cross makes all the difference. You know, we're so confused. We have a little bit of old covenant, a little bit of new. We don't even know where we fit. A little bit of law, a little bit of God. I feel the love's coming now. Is that right? Listen to me, you can't mix the two together. It's either law or it's grace. Make up your mind. But if you're going to go law, you have to keep it all. If you break one, you're guilty of it all. Can I have an amen? I'd sooner live under grace. This is the dispensation of grace. Paul calls it the gospel of grace. Acts chapter 20, 24, if you don't believe me, he says that I might finish my course with joy. Is that right? And joy is not the name of his wife. And he says, and preach the gospel of grace. Oh, I love it. It's so easy to preach the goodness of God, the grace of God. Not you're a mongrel going to hell. I feel the love's coming again. Now, I've probably shared before, but I'm going to do it again. Must be some new people here. But I go to a barber on the Gold Coast, and he's rough as bags. Hello, a cue to his, is a little clue to his nationality. His name's Luigi. Obviously not Irish. And Luigi's a good bloke, you know, tattoos everywhere and everything like that. Rough as bags. And so I front up to stay, and Luigi's away, and he's got a lady barber, and she's rougher than he is. They don't get all cranky, tattoos everywhere. If you want a tattoo, go for it. I don't like needles. Would you slap a bumper sticker on a Ferrari anyway? Anyway, it'll come to you in a minute. So anyway, you know, I'm sitting up the back and she's going swearing and everything. She looked up to me and she said, what do you do for a living? I like it. UK Prime Minister, previous one, Tony Blair, he said, never apologise for your values. Yeah, great. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Well, the language changed immediately. No more swearing. Isn't that amazing? No more swearing. And now she picks on God, and God did this, and how can there be a God? And I said, oh, lady, I said, you wouldn't know God if he smacked in the face. And she looked at me, I said, look at me, lady. Look at me, look at me. I said, look at me, hello. I said, God loves you just like you are. Yeah. Now, I didn't say she's saved, for God so loved the world. Yeah. Is this correct or not? Sent his only, it cost God immensely because he loved the world. Is that right or not? God is love, John says. It doesn't say he has love. It says he is love. I said, look at me, lady. I said, God loves you. And she looked at me and she said, well, you don't even know what I've done. I said, it's not based on what you've done or I've done or I don't qualify. It's based on accepting what he's done for us. And I said, I'm telling you right now, Jesus paid the price for you. Because she started to cry. She's crying. They all looked at me. I said, I never touched her. Never laid a hand on this lady. Never laid a hand on her. Bawling in the middle of the... 2 weeks later, she turns up at our church. Wow. I never get invited and never rammed a track down. Are you going to hell, you mongrel? She just turns up at church. As far as I know, she's still going to church. Wow. Tattoos and all, hello? Anyway, I go back a month later and she's not there and Luigi's there and he sees me. He brushes through the people. He comes up and he says, I don't know what you did to Helen Cole, but that must be one hell of a church. He said, the change in that lady. I said, well, maybe you need to come too, Luigi. He said, it's not that bad yet. It's the goodness of God, people. How easy it is to preach the gospel of grace. Yes, there'll be a judgment, but not for you and me. Hello? We're passed from death to life. Is that right? You know, it's amazing to me, like, you know, some people, we just don't really believe the Bible. The Bible says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me. Yeah. He lives here. People say, my prayers don't get above the ceiling. They don't need to get above your navel. If that's true, he lives here. That's why you bow your head when you pray. Hello, hello. Well, is that right or not? I mean, you know, can come up with all sorts of, that's what Scripture says, he lives in here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I feel like God. Well, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. Double negative. Never, under any circumstances, will I never leave you nor forsake you. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, meditate on that, the goodness of God. Go to sleep at night. It'll take away all of that fear. All of a sudden, all of that fear goes. If you're going to a place where love is preached like that, whoa. Is that right? You're going to beat people off from wanting to go? You know, here, eventually, I believe in here, the Bible talks about we're complete in him. If we're complete, we're complete. How much more complete can you be than complete? He says, renew your mind. Romans chapter 12. He says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. What mind was in Christ? Hello, it's finished. It's over. It's done. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what? The good, the acceptable, the perfect will. You will never know God's perfect will if you don't renew your mind. Over and over, I'm focusing on the finished work. The cross makes all the difference. See, if you read Old Covenant, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Yes, that's true. But Paul writes, after the cross, we forgive because we've already been forgiven. Is that right? If you don't understand that, it seems a contradiction. No, the cross makes all the difference. It is finished. Bible says, is that right? that he paid the price once and for all, not continue over and over. Now, this is me. Don't get cranky. I was allowed to have an opinion at one stage, I remember, anyway. But I believe once you're born again forever. I didn't say you can't miss it, but do you love your kids when they miss it or not? They're still your kids. Now, I believe the only way ever, the Bible says that no one will ever snatch you, is that right? Out of his hands. The only way out is the only way in. Choice of your will. If you want out, I believe that's the only way out. Certainly not by sin, by missing it. I believe that Jesus paid the price for that. Is that right or not? Did he or didn't he? Yeah, either he did or he didn't. Anyway, thank you on that. But you know, the more that I get into this, I love it. And if you're going to get to a place of focusing on the love of God, you're going to have to go to John. I love John. The Gospel of John. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You know, John, this is the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's the way he identifies himself. Matthew calls himself Matthew, Mark, Luke. But John doesn't even identify himself as John. He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, how many of you know Jesus loved them all the same? But John had a revelation of the grace. They're arguing, Peter's arguing, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to sit at the right hand of the Father? And John says, I just want a fellowship with Jesus. At the Last Supper, he's got his head on Jesus. Is that right? See the Last Supper. And John's head on Jesus' breast. He's the only one that's in tune with the heartbeat of God. All the other disciples die martyr's death, but John lives to be an old man. They try to kill him. They try to boil him in oil. But love never fails. Hello? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And if you want to understand love, read John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Matthew, Mark, Luke was written within 18 months of Jesus going to the cross. John was written 60 to 65 years later. At the end of his life, he's written 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He's written Revelation. And he writes in 1 John, in chapter 4, and he says in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Didn't say he has it. He says he is it. Now listen to me, people. If you've got a religious spirit, it will manifest now. If that doesn't jerk the slack out of you, I'm reading this and I'm saying, God, are you trying to tell me that I could build a church, that I could preach, and if I really don't know love, I don't even know you? He said, that's right. Now listen to me. I don't believe he's putting it in there to make us feel guilty. He's challenging us that we don't have a real revelation of love, what love is. We don't even know what God is. John understands love. Is that right? He says Moses brought the law, but grace and truth came through Jesus. He's the only one that writes that. So think about this. He says, if you don't know love, you don't even know God. You have no real comprehension of God. For God is love. So guess what I've been doing? Meditating. I've been meditating on God is love. I go to sleep at night. So God is love. 1 Corinthians, love is kind, love is good. Is that right? That's the nature of God. If that's love, then that's what God is. Hello? I love that. I'm just meditating for God is love. It takes away all of that fear. Perfect love casts out fear. The last days, it will be the best and the worst of times. Your choice. What do you focus on? What do you meditate? Or what the world says? What the media is trying to tell you? Hello? Or renewing your mind to the Word of God? Man, I love it. So think about this. Who's going to enter the rest of God? Those who believe. It's simple. Who is going to enter? Go back to Hebrews 4 with me. Hebrews chapter 4. And as I say here, man, I've just been spending some time in this. I've just finished a book. I've called it From Stressed to Blessed. And, you know, it just all of a sudden, anyway, this is just me. I'm not as smart as some of you. So anyway, it says in verse 3, for who believed do enter that rest. And he goes on, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Then he goes on, and drop down to verse 9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There is a rest for us. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works as God did. Grace, unmerited favor. Not trying to earn brownie points with God. It's not the cross plus your prayer. It's not the cross plus your fasting. It's not the It's not the cross plus anything. It's the cross. Once and for all. Accepting, believe, is that right? See, there's nothing I can do. What can I possibly do? It's righteous. My righteousness is filthy rags. Is that right or not? Just accepting. Is that right? Yeah. Righteousness is a gift.
Yes, it is.
It's a gift.
Amen.
How long have you got to earn a gift? Yeah. Salvation is a gift. Can I have it? People look at me real strange.
Yeah.
Watch out. Your halos don't slip down and strangle you to death. Hello. It's a gift. You know, instead of trying to strive, and you know, even faith can be a work. We can make faith a work. So if I get up and I confess 2,000 times this morning, and is that right? Well, I'm going to compel God. No, you're not.
Yeah,
it's already done. All He wants you to do is accept it.
Yeah.
You're not going to pay for it. He don't want you to. It's a free gift.
Right.
Just receive it. Anyway, He goes on to say in verse 11, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." What does that sound like? An oxymoron. It talks about being one translation. Be zealous. How can I be zealous to enter? Why? By renewing my mind to the finished work of God.
Right.
By spending time meditating, zealously renewing my mind. Is that right or not? Hello?
Yeah.
To enter that rest. Who's going to enter the rest? Those who believe.
Yeah.
So what's my part? Believe. How do I believe? What I focus my mind on. What I meditate on. Is that right or not? What I choose to allow go in from my head into my heart. That's why I believe it's so important for our kids today. Is that right or not? Teaching them, is that right? Focusing on the good, the lovely, the positive. That's why I believe it's so important they be in church. Is that right or not? I hear people say, oh, I need something deeper teaching them. Love, listen to me. There is no greater revelation. The greatest power you will ever experience in your life is a revelation of the love of God.
Right.
Of God's love just for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like you are, warts and all. No, most of us don't even know. I was sitting in Joseph Prince's church 5 years ago, lost one of my best friends to a heart attack. And I'm depressed. I'm being honest. I'm just depressed.
Yeah.
I hear the voice of God say, Carl, I love you. I even like you. And He said, and when you confess your sin, it's not when I found out about it, I've known you from the womb.
Yeah.
And I love you and I like you. Hello?
Yeah.
Does that do something for you?
Yeah, great.
Just the love of God. Hello? Takes away all of that fear. Is that right? I don't have to prove myself. Is that right? I don't have to stress, to strive or whatever. It's just receiving.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? I don't mean to be rude. Can I ask you a question? Are you led or are you just driven?
Yeah, wow.
I read books, the purpose-driven church. I'm sure. I don't want to be driven. The Holy Spirit leads. Is that right or not? Think about it. When the Spirit of Truth, He leads you, guides you. Is that right or not? Someone else does the driving. The shepherd leads, the sheepdog drives. I don't want to be driven. This is just me. I'm tired of being driven. By ambition, by whatever it is, I don't want to be driven. I just want to be led. If it's not God, I don't want to do it. That's just me. That's cool. I just don't want to do it. Can I have an amen or what? I just don't feel it's God. You know, you say, I had a couple of, you know, invitations, and I said, well, I'm not being smart, but I just don't think it's God. They don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, right.
But, and I said, well, hey, I could be wrong, but I just don't think it's God at this time for me. Thank you, anyway, for your enthusiasm. So He's talking about, you know, just the love of God, renewing your mind to that. Is that right? Who is it, you know, that enters the rest? That he who believes. How do I believe? The Word of God has been there. Is that right? We've got some CDs up the back. I'm not trying to sell just CDs. We almost sold the whole lot at the first session. But here's 1,500 positive scriptures.
Wow.
See, listen to me. Encapsulated in this is the anointing, the grace to deliver that promise. If you need healing, meditate healing scriptures. If you need deliverance from fear, meditate. God has not given me a spirit of fear.
Right.
You just can't go eeny, meeny, miny, mo. There's today.
Yeah.
You know, we had people in my church in Darwin dying of cancer. I'd go in with CDs. My wife did one, CDs for young people, one on fear, one on healing. And I said, shove that in. I said to the nurse, you make sure that stays on 24 hours a day. Your spirit doesn't sleep.
Yeah.
Your head sleeps. Your spirit doesn't.
Yeah.
I said, let it. So I come back 2 days later and they got it turned off watching TV as the stomach turns.
Yeah.
I said, that'll kill you, that stuff. The commercials alone will kill you. Is this too deep? Hello? And then they went, oh, I know. They'll say, I know who the Antichrist is. I said, well, don't worry. You won't be around long enough to check it out. Is that right? I'm not being smart.
Yeah.
I said, listen to me. You're in a fight for your life.
Yeah.
The devil's not going to back off. If you don't do something about renewing your mind, is that right or not? Then would you get revelation of you're already healed by his stripes? You're going to die. I'm the pastor. Is that right? What do you want me to do? Is that, you know, and I've seen people. You know what bothered me is people. I'd seen people come off the street. I mean, just real street people walk up the front, get instantly healed on the spot. And somebody in the church gets all bent out of shape because I've been in this church 20 years and I said, well, maybe they believed. Simply just believed and accepted. Is that right? Not trying to earn it. Not trying to make myself acceptable to God, good enough to God. Is that right or not? Just believe it.
Yeah.
Smith Wigglesworth, I love that. I was sharing in the first session. I actually spoke to a pastor that was alive, and Wigglesworth, he's not here now, but he said that he was with Wigglesworth, and they went to a hotel in Sydney, and he said, there's a man there with a huge growth on the side of his face. He said, Wigglesworth walked up and said, can I pray for you? And he said, yeah. Prayed for him, and the growth dropped off on the table.
Wow.
Right in front of him. Only believe. Isn't that what Scripture says? Lay hands on the sick and maybe they'll recover. It says they shall recover. Is that right or not? Now, either, listen to me, Jesus lied to us, or you and I are missing it somewhere. All he says is just believe. In his own, he goes to, is that right? He goes to, and people are being instantly healed. He goes to his own hometown. But because they know him, they said, hang on, we know this person. Is that right? And Jesus could do no mighty miracles. And he marveled at their unbelief. Can I just be real straight when I leave? I marvel at the unbelief in the church. Even amongst myself. Sometimes I think, you know, I really should believe that, but I'm struggling with that right now. I'm really struggling with that. So what I do, I find the scriptures that deal with that. God's not given me a spirit of fear. It'd be real easy with all the earthquakes and everything happening to get off into fear. I meditate scripture. I pray in tongues or I just meditate scripture. And that peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. My head doesn't even know why I'm not, I should be really scared, but I'm not. Can I have an amen or what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Teach your kids the same thing. Meditate scripture. Your little kids, you can teach them. You can teach them nursery rhymes. You can teach them passages of scripture. They grow up. Is that right? The power. And I got to close off. We had a young man in my church. His dad had been a bank robber. Anyway, and his mum got saved, was in my church. And so he used to stay in our home quite often. He was 4 or 5 years old or something. And my wife's teaching him scripture all the time. All the time. So anyway, the lady next door's got all this eczema over her legs, you see. So we're going to pray for her. And she's like, oh. And so the 5-year-old walks up and says, don't you know God? It says, lay hands. And I'm not making it up. Lay hands, pray. And she's going, oh, you know, I don't know how to handle this. We went back the next day. She said, Jen, look at my legs. Perfectly clear.
Wow.
I'm not making things up. You don't got to make things up. A 5-year-old kid. Only believe. Just believe. Faith like a little child. He says, unless you come as a child, you'll never even experience the kingdom of God. Is that right?
Yes.
We're so smart. We're so educated. All he wants you to do is to simply believe.
Yeah.
Believe and receive, or doubt and go without.
Yeah.
Father, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters, the homes, the families that are represented here, particularly the young ones, Lord. Dear God, I have a heart for the young people, Father, that they would grow up in the nurture of the things of God. What a world, Lord, for our young people to grow up in. The best, the worst of times. But Father, I believe that your word makes all the difference. Jesus, you are the living word of God. The word made flesh. So Father, I just thank you for my brothers and my sisters. And I loose the anointing of the Spirit of God. I believe there's some people out here right now, you're discouraged. Some of you are depressed, distressed. If that's you, and we can't pray for everybody, but if that's you, stand up. Come on, if that's you, I want you to stand up. If you're discouraged, distressed, come on, you don't need a second opinion. If that's you, stand up. And we'll pray for you right where you are. We won't drag anybody down the front. We'll pray for you right now. Depression, discouragement, disillusionment, whatever you want to call it. For the rest of you, will you just join me in prayer for these people? One day it could be you. And Father, I just thank you for the honesty of these people right now. I loose the healing anointing, the Spirit of God on these people. The grace of God. that Jesus paid the price for your distress, for your discouragement, for your depression. By his stripes, you are healed.
Yes.
You are free.
Yes.
And all he's asking you to do right now is simply receive it.
Yes.
Just receive it. And as you begin to speak it out, thank you, Lord, I believe that I receive. I thank you, Lord, I just believe that I receive. Even if I don't feel any different, I believe that I receive it now. And I just thank you that my mind is clear and free from fear. Lord, I just give you the praise. I give you the glory. And I just speak that answer, that peace of God over their lives. And we thank you for it, Lord. We just thank you. We just give you the praise and the glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you for your grace. Where would I be without your grace? Just as I'm closing, can I just share this? I'm continually, you know, I'm humbled by the grace of God. That God would love me, accept me just like I am. You know, if I was God, I don't think I would want to be friends with me. That's just me. But you know, I just hear the voice of God telling me he loves me, cares for me. I'm just humbled by that grace. The love, the grace, the mercy of God. It's so much easier to minister. You know, no fear. Not God out to make you sick or going to bash your brains out. For God is love. Doesn't have love. He is love. If you don't know love, you really don't know God. Father, we just thank you and we just praise you. I thank you for Pastor. Thank you for the church. Thank you for what's going on here. That the gospel of grace is being preached and going out to this part of the world. We just thank you that we're privileged to be part of the move of God in these last days, in these perilous times. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering.
Come on, let's stand our feet in this place.